From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
For the week of May 22nd, 2006, it is the Disc Golf News. I'm Brian Sullivan. Great to be back after an unexpected couple of weeks off. We couldn't upload the show because the PDGA web server was down. And the reason why, you may have noticed some problems with the website as well. Well, honest truth, we got hacked. Yeah, some jerkwad decided to attack a nonprofit.
Oh, great idea.
Well, here's my wish to that person, and that is, may you hit every tree on every fairway for the rest of your days. So a lot of good things, positive things, coming up in the show this week. We've got mental training techniques to help you putt better and smarter.
One of the neat things about automatic behavior is that they're much more durable in stressful situations.
Our good friend, Dr. Betsy Schoenfeld, is with us with those tips and much more. Plus, we've got results from the very exciting national tour event last weekend, the Beaver State Fling in Portland. There are tips in the show on how to extend the life and growth of your club and your tournament. Timmy Gill is going to be on ESPN this week. We'll tell you about that. And Chris Sprague is here in the clinic this week with a tip on how to increase your driving distance. It is all coming up on this edition of PDGA Radio News, brought to you by Innovate Champion Discs at InnovateDiscs.com and by Discraft at Discraft.com. Controlled Distance has a new name. Discraft presents the Surge Maximum Distance Driver in the new ESP line of grippy, durable, high-tech plastic. One throw and you'll know. The Surge was engineered for one purpose, to allow the average disc golfer to throw farther with more control. And the new ESP plastic means it's grippy, yet built to last. The Surge Maximum Distance Driver, available now from Discraft, the world leader in disc sports. The PDGA National Tour rolled into Portland, Oregon last weekend for the Beaver State Fling. Results coming your way, beginning with the Masters Division and multiple world title holder Brad Hammack. Shows him how to get it done. He's going to win by six over Eugene's Tom Embry, who will take second. Doug Salter gets third place in the Masters. In the Women's Division, Des Redding, Juliana Korver going at it once again. Des Redding, two better. In the fourth round, she's going to finish at even and finish a winner. Juliana, second place, and Valerie Jenkins, no longer just Avery's sister or just Leroy and Sharon's daughter. Yes, Valerie Jenkins making a name for herself on the tour. She finishes in third for the women. In the open division, Barry Schultz, fourth round, 6 under, 1072 rated round. He's going to finish 30 under for the weekend, $1,300 in his pocket for his efforts. He's your winner. Dave Feldberg, Stevie Rico, tie up for second, and that's how it went down at the Beaver State Fling. It's time for the 60-second clinic, and you know the old saying, drive for show, putt for dough. Well, putting and learning about putting is kind of like learning about, oh, I don't know, asparagus. Yeah, it's good for you, but gee, you know, it's not all that exciting. Whereas learning about driving, yeah, that's, you know, that's a T-bone steak. So most of the show this week dedicated to putting, to asparagus. So we thought we'd throw you a little T-bone as well. So Chris Sprague is here with a tip on how to increase your driving distance.
Slow everything down. Oh, yeah. In order to gain extra distance, you'll have to slow it down in your backswing. I mean, a lot of players are a little bit fast in the reach back, fast, and they're quick, and they're doing things. A lot of the big throwers, like a Brian Schweberger, are real slow and deliberate before they release, and they increase the power through the stroke. So they're not reaching back fast. They're not throwing with a real jerky motion. They're real deliberate, real slow, and methodical in the way that they increase the speed through the stroke into the follow-through. And then at the follow-through, no holds barred, that's where your power comes in. You finish with a nice, powerful stroke. And that's where I see a lot of people with fast backswings or fast run-ups, or they're just trying to overpower everything instead of slowing it down and really focusing on where that power is coming from and where they're generating the power.
Professional disc golfer Chris Sprague has been tearing it up on the tour this year. He resides in Bremerton, Oregon.
The Champion Sidewinder from Innova is the latest addition to the state-of-the-art Champion line. The Sidewinder is designed for long turnover shots and long-distance rollers. The extra long glide will add D to your drive no matter how big your arm is. And the Sidewinder is made with Champion Line plastic, so it holds up round after round. Your game just got better with the new Sidewinder from Innova, number one in disc golf.
Hi, this is Barry Schultz, and you are listening to PDGA Radio News.
In the big picture, we are so lucky to have a sports psychologist come on the show on a regular basis to help us with the mental game. And if there is any aspect in disc golf that has mental written all over it, it's got to be putting. So Dr. Betsy is here to begin to explain to us some of her mental training techniques to make us better and smarter putters.
Dr. Betsy Schoenfeld, good to have you back on the show.
Well, thank you, Brian. It's always good to be here.
And we are always looking for advice on that toughest part of the game, which is putting. So let's talk about putting. And first of all, explain why it's the toughest part of the game.
Well, we can mechanically be very flexible in how we putt. A variety of putting styles can be successful, but mentally it's more difficult than any other shot. And there are a couple of reasons for this. One is that as we move from the tee to the putting circle, the precision with which we need to land the shot increases. So if we land a drive near the center of the fairway, say within 10 meters of our target, we tend to be pleased with that, or at least okay with that. But with a putt, we either make it or miss it. So other shots tend to be much more forgiving than a putt. Also, if we look at our scorecard, typically the putt accounts for more than half the strokes on the scorecard, so we have to putt well to score well. So in a sense, we're putting this pressure on ourselves because we know how important the putt is. If you think of golf as a game of interference management, using these mental skills, we can help control our own minds and prevent some of the interference that we're causing. So if we've got an important putt and we're thinking, you know, maybe I can save this hole by making this super putt, or maybe I can even save this round by making this putt, we're really adding pressure to ourselves and we're putting ourselves in a context that's making it more difficult for us to putt successfully.
Well, it seems like putting should be so easy. It doesn't require a lot of strength. You know, the basket is right there. Why is it so difficult to just cross that short distance and get that disc in there?
I think it has to do with the context, Brian. When we get to the putt, we're thinking this is a really important shot, and so we create pressure. I'll give you an example that's a non-golf example.
Okay.
If we were to take a balance beam, the beam that the gymnasts walk across, and were to lay that balance beam on the floor, you and I and probably most of the audience could walk easily across that balance beam without falling. But if we take that same balance beam and we raise it off the floor 6 feet, most of us are going to become distracted and we're thinking about the fact that we might fall off the beam and it's now 6 feet tall. So we're thinking about the context and not the task. The actual task has remained exactly the same. It's walking across the very balance beam that we easily walked across when it was on the floor. But we distract ourselves and we put a lot more pressure on ourselves by bringing in the context. So likewise with putting, when we think, well, I need to sink this putt to save this hole, or I need to sink this putt to save this round, we're ourselves adding pressure by putting that demand on ourselves. So if we can focus on the task and try and ignore the context, we'll be much more successful because we can think in terms of just what we need to do to get that disc into the basket.
Well, you've been trying to help us for a couple of years now to do just that, to focus on that task and ignore all the distractions. And I think you've given us a perfect example here with this this balance beam example. But nonetheless, I have to ask, every time we talk, how do we ignore that? And how do we just walk that beam and hit that putt?
Well, I think that to putt successfully, you're going to need to draw on what I would call your whole toolbox of mental skills. The different things that we've been talking about, the role of relaxation, the imagery, having a set routine, exercises that we've talked about to increase confidence, self-talk, of course, is crucial, focus, and goal setting. So virtually every mental skill that we've talked about needs to come into play when we look at putting and trying to improve our putting through mental skills.
Tell me a little bit about your thoughts on practicing putting and how that will help us to, when we're in that clutch situation, to hit that putt?
Well, I think that's probably a first step in terms of working on mental skills for putting is to practice. And we've talked earlier about the role of automaticity in performance. That word is a big word, but basically it just means that you practice frequently enough that the putt becomes automatic. If you remember when we talked about this, we talked about three stages of motor learning. That is learning a performance skill, learning to actually do something. We start first with the verbal stage, which is where we kind of talk ourselves through it, just literally speaking in our minds as we perform. The more we rehearse, we begin to lose that talking part of it. The verbal part drops out, and it moves into what we call the performance stage, the procedural stage, where we're doing it, but we're still thinking about doing it. And if we rehearse even more, it becomes automatic, where we can step up and just do it. We mentioned this when we were talking about routine, that we want to be at that automatic stage where we're not consciously focusing on the mechanics or anything else when we're taking our shot. And the more we practice, the more we move from that first or second stage of learning to that third stage where it is automatic. So to do this, we really need to engage in what I would call purposeful practice, where we're really concentrating. We've got a plan for our practice. We're practicing both short putts and long putts, and we're practicing enough that we can automate the putting stroke so that when we step up, we key in on the target, whether it's a specific link, whether it's a specific spot on the pole. We key in on the target, and we set our goal for the shot, and then we just do it because we've got that practice, that habit, that automatic stroke to make the putt.
Dr. Betsy, you have counseled a lot of athletes in a number of different sports. Can you give us some sort of putting routine that you would recommend that's going to help us to incorporate all of the things that we've been talking about?
Well, I think the putting routines could be similar to the routine for any of your shots. It's just going to be focusing on the putt. That is, you first have to set a goal for what you're hoping to accomplish with your putt. So, again, looking at where your lie is, what you want to do with the disc in terms of the flight path, how you want your shot to go. Set that goal and then step up and let that automaticity take over. Once you set the goal, step up, relax, take a deep breath or whatever it is that you're doing to relax, and then just do it. We really want to take practice seriously, and in particularly short putts, because those are the ones we tend to think, oh, I can make that, I don't really need to practice. But if you challenge yourself to go out and truly focus on practicing your putts, stay on the putting circle until you make 25 short putts in a row. What you'll find is on that 23rd, that 24th, that 25th putt, you're going to feel some pressure because you're going to have to start all over if you happen to miss that putt. Practicing under those conditions where you do have some pressure will help increase your confidence as you make those 25 putts in a row, and at the same time, it will help increase that muscle memory because that repetition will help move that good, solid putting stroke into an automatic behavior.
That, I think, is really great advice because, you know, it's hard, especially with the short putts, when you're practicing to feel the same kind of pressure that you're feeling in a round and certainly in a tournament round. So your suggestion then is to pick a number, say 25 short putts, maybe 10 long putts, something like that. And as you get nearer to your goal, you're going to feel that artificial pressure that you've created.
Right, and I would say maybe even set a tougher goal than 10 long putts because, again, it's that repetition that's going to increase the automaticity, and the more it becomes just habit to eye in your target, step up, and make that shot, the easier it's going to be in a competitive situation because, again, it's going to be automated rather than having to think through, and that's when our behavior tends to be affected more by stress. One of the neat things about automatic behavior is that they're much more durable than stressful situations because it's when we're actually thinking about something that the stress can play a role. If it's so automatic we're not even thinking, then it's much easier to take the putt out of the context and just step up and do what we've done, 100 times, 1,000 times in practice. mental skills are kind of the icing on the cake. So make sure that your mechanics are in line, and then practice enough to automate your stroke. And as you're doing that, you'll find that your confidence is increasing, and you'll find that your putting is becoming much more effective. And then you can bring in all of the mental skills that we've talked about before to really have your putting in shape.
Dr. Betsy Schoenfeld, your advice is always invaluable to us, and thanks so much again for your time.
Well, thank you, Brian. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Dr. Betsy Schoenfeld is a sports psychologist on the faculty of Western Kentucky University in Bowling Green, Kentucky. She joins us on a regular basis to talk about the mental game and spoke to us this week from her home in Bowling Green. And you're listening to PDGA Radio News. There are a couple of Super Tour events on the calendar this upcoming Memorial Day weekend, May 27th and 28th, a couple for you to choose from. The more centrally located of the two is the Greater Des Moines Challenge in Des Moines, Iowa. Now, if you were one of the 1,000 or so players at the Combined Worlds there a couple of years ago, you know they have not only beautiful courses, but a superbly run club there as well. The tournament director for the challenge is Tina Clark, and I want you to pay close attention to what she has to say, because there's some points I want to make later about how the Des Moines folks run things that are really good, that are things you can learn from. So here's Tina Clark telling us about this weekend's Greater Des Moines Challenge.
Well, the Greater Des Moines Challenge actually started in 1991. Steve Nix was our first tournament director, and we started playing on two courses. Steve ran the challenge until 96, when it was taken over by Jason Neifert, and he ran the challenge through 2001. And then Ryan Heseltine, who was our challenge tournament director last year, he ran it 2002 to 2005. So he got the awesome opportunity to run it during that time we were promoting the world. And that was a really big time. I believe it was a B-tier tournament until last year, though, after the great opportunity we had to host the Pro, Am, and Junior Worlds in 2004, we took advantage of the opportunity to host an NT event last year. We've got five great courses we're playing on this year. Ewing Park is on the south side of Des Moines. It is a beautiful rolling hills course. The length is about 6,500 feet. Then we're playing at Grandview Park, also in Des Moines. It's on Des Moines' east side. It's a little bit shorter course, 5,700 feet, a little bit shorter holes, but it really is one of our best courses, because it is so adaptable to new players, to intermediate players, to amateur players and pro players. All of them love that course. It's got some great, beautiful holes on that as well. We'll be playing at Big Creek. That course is a very long course and is pretty challenging as well. In fact, most of our courses around here, around Des Moines, are challenging. Only the pros will be playing there. They won't be playing on Grandview this time. And then we also will have Walnut Ridge, which is, it's a great course, also very long, 6,600 feet. Got a lot of elevation changes. There are places that you can see Sailorville Lake, because it sits on the edge of Sailorville Lake. There are places where you play just straight wood shots, and then there are places where there are open field shots. It's just a really great course for technical play. And then finally, we'll be playing at Pickard Park in Indianola. And again, if you've played our courses, you'll remember Pickard, because it is a gorgeous course. The length is not quite your longest ever course, but it's pretty big in comparison to our other courses. It's 8,300 feet. There's water there, and that makes it really nice, and it's just a great course. Our defending champs this year are Ken Climo, Coda Hatfield, and Brian Schweberger for the Open. For the Open women, Des Redding, Juliana Corver, and Carrie Berlager. And our masters are Greg Hosfield, Brad Milder, and Jeff Harper. The main thing that's important about Des Moines is that we are always big into promoting women in disc golf, and so we have some special women-friendly things that we do, like we offer a discount on their registration fees, we offer a special little prize or a special little gift in the women's players package, and we try to treat them as equally as men, and I know that's really hard to do because you have less women entrants, but we're offering trophies in every one of the AM divisions for women, three players down, which is it's a leap of faith, because sometimes you don't get three players in a woman's division. especially down in the intermediate range or the master range for AM. But we're going to make that leap of faith and hope that if we build it, they will come. One more thing to add is that for all of our AM divisions, they will be receiving a disc golf basket. Player number one in every one of the AM divisions, the winning player, will receive a disc golf basket. And they're all DGA baskets. They're the brand new DGA baskets. But we feel so strongly about bringing more people into the sport that we really want to promote the AM players.
Tina Clark is tournament director for this weekend's Greater Des Moines Challenge in Iowa and spoke to us from her home in Des Moines. Hey, it is a holiday weekend for most of us this weekend, May 27th and 28th, so no excuse to get out there and throw some disc. You can do so in Spotsylvania, Virginia at the Virginia Open. In Switzerland, it's the European Masters, and in Oklahoma, the 28th Norman Pro-Am. Plus, Sweden hosting the Falkoping Open. In Kamloops, B.C., it's the International Women's Cup. Lilac City Open in Spokane. New York hosting the Rochester Flying Disc Open. The Rocket City Blast in Huntsville. In Florida, it's the Sarasota Sky Pilots Pro Open. And the Fling-A-Thing Pro-Am Dubs in Kentucky. Plus, Colorado, the Clash of the Creek. The Crooked Creek Classic in Chapin, South Carolina. Something going on in Germany. Bunch of Wisconsin stuff, too, including the Eagle Open, Go Big or Go Home, and the Fiddler's Fest, all those in Wisconsin. Knoxville hosting the Volunteer Classic. And Tony's Mountain Golf Challenge number one in Grass Valley. Get the full list at pdga.com. Finally this week, I wanted to revisit the comments that Tina Clark had made about how the Des Moines Disc Golf Club is running their event, the Greater Des Moines Challenge. Now, if you were at Worlds a couple of years ago, you know that these guys just do a bang-up job in running an event. And here are some perfect examples of why they're so successful. Number one, you'll notice at the beginning of the conversation, Tina Clark mentioned that they've used a number of different tournament directors for this event over the years. Why is that good? A couple of reasons. Number one, it avoids burnout. Most of us will eventually burn out. It's natural. There are a few exceptions out there, like Gary Lewis in Illinois, who just goes year after year after year, and he just loves what he does. But most of us will burn out. So if you're rotating tournament directors, not only are you avoiding the burnout, but you're also training other people to get the job done. That helps your club and the sport to grow. So that's point number one. Point number two that Tina made, they offer incentives for women. Now, how many of us have said, gee, I wish I could get more women out to my event? Well, here's a great thing to help increase the number of women at your tournament. Offer incentives. Okay, that's number two. The third thing I'd like to point out is that at the Greater Des Moines Challenge, they're offering a basket for not just the advanced amateur winner, but every AM division winner. Yeah, I mean, what better reason does an amateur have to go out to a tournament? I mean, hey, they can win a basket. This is fantastic, and I have no doubt in my mind that there's going to be a fantastic turnout at this event. So go back and listen to that interview again and learn from the good folks at the Greater Des Moines Challenge and the club there in Des Moines. They're doing great, great work. And this just in, Timmy Gill, we talked to him recently about his new website, discgolftv.com. Well, he is headed, as I speak, to New York City to appear on the ESPN2 program, Cold Pizza. It airs on Tuesday morning from 10 a.m. until 1 Eastern time. Now, if you're hearing this too late after the show has aired, I would not worry about it, because chances are good that Timmy is going to have a clip of that interview posted at his website in the coming days. That's discgolftv.com. Timmy Gill on ESPN talking disc golf. And that, my friends, is the disc golf news for the week of May 22nd. For the PDGA, I'm Brian Sullivan. Thanks to our friends, the Vamps, V-A-M-P-S, for their musical assistance this week. And thanks to our sponsors as well, Innova Champion Disc and Discraft. And until next time, I hope you will get out there. Huck some plastic. Do not hack into any nonprofit websites. It's very bad for the karma. And keep them in the fairways.